of the committee when we met and made arrangements for the study for them to choose someone else, and they said no. They wanted me to have a part in this, and so I'm willing to do my part. My lesson tonight is entitled, Time to Put Away Childish Things. And, of course, the theme has been the development of God's children. And, of course, that is from developing from childhood all the way up into adulthood. And I have chosen a verse of Scripture, just one verse of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, he was writing to the church at Corinth. He had spent a lot of time with that church. Spent 2 years down there preaching, and then he was gone for a while. And he got word that there was some irregularities in the church. And he had written 1 Corinthians to try to correct those errors that were that they were going through. And they had some controversy over spiritual gifts, as recorded in the 12th chapter. And at the end of that chapter, he said, "And I show unto you a more excellent way." And he then gave to us the chapter on love, or charity, the 13th chapter. And in the 11th verse of that chapter, he said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And so, that's where the title for my lesson came from tonight, that verse. Now, this verse shows to us the normal growth that should develop as we mature spiritually. This was true with Jesus, even. We read in the second chapter of the book of Luke. Jesus, the family had gone up to Jerusalem, and they had left to go back home, and somebody realized Jesus is not with us. And so they had traveled, I believe, 2 days' journey, and they turned around and went back looking for him, and they found him, and he was in the temple, and he was having a discussion with the doctors and the lawyers. And so one of the things that chapter ends with, the verse it ends with, it says that Jesus increased in knowledge or in wisdom and in favor or in stature, I'm sorry, in wisdom and in stature. And in favor with God and man. He grew physically. He was a baby, you know. But he grew into childhood and then into manhood. And in the meantime, he increased in favor with his heavenly Father. He was very pleased with what Jesus did. And he also increased in favor with men. Now, Brother Miller, he had the first lesson in our Bible study this year, and he talked about the four stages of a human being. There's first infancy, and then there's childhood, and then there's adolescence, and then adulthood. And as we watch our children grow up, it's very easy for us to measure their growth. In fact, we used to stand our kids in the doorway, and we would make a mark on the door, you know, when they was, we'll just say, for example, 5 years old, put a mark there. Then when they were 6 years old, we'd do it again, and we could even measure the growth that they had experienced during that period of time. And we can not only see the physical growth, but we can see the changes in their personality as they begin to develop their own personality. And we can also see the development of their mind, you know, as they learn. And they begin to show responsibility concerning what they have learned. And then we can see an improvement in their conduct and behavior as they get older. These are things that we can measure and we can see in them. But age and growth alone does not guarantee maturity. Either in the physical realm or in the spiritual realm. And so I want to call your attention to what Paul and Peter said. Both of them, well, let me back up a minute. You know, becoming a child requires a birth experience. There are none of us here who did not experience a birth experience, who did not have a birth experience. And becoming a child of God also requires a birth experience. And Peter and Paul both described an infant in the Lord, a new convert, someone who has been saved or born again, described them as being babes in Christ, newborn babes in Christ. But it's not normal for us to continue as infants. The normal thing is for a child to grow and to develop. And that should be true of every born-again child of God also. We need to grow. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I've been in the ministry a long time, and I'm not bragging or anything like that. But I have observed many professions in the time that I've been trying to preach. I have observed some professions that were like the nine lepers that Jesus healed. You know, he was traveling and he met these 10 lepers, and he healed them. He cleansed them. And they went on their way. One of them returned or came back to him and gave him thanks for cleansing him, making him whole. And the other nine did not. And I've heard a lot of professions, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. If somebody tells me that they've been saved, I'm going to take their word for it, because I cannot see into their hearts. The only way that we know for sure that a person has been saved is because they told us. Brother William Howard, who was the pastor of this church at one time, he said he had cried lots of crocodile tears over false professions. And you know, we are emotional beings. And sometimes people manifest or demonstrate emotions that excites our emotions. You know, and we'll say, oh boy, that person for sure was saved. Well, you know, the only way that any individual can know they're saved is because they experienced being saved. And the only way we know that they've been saved is because they tell us that they have been. But these lepers, they were cleansed, but they never came back to give thanks. And sometimes we see people make professions and they join the church and never see them again. Well, that's not the plan that God had, you know, for our lives. So I'm afraid that there are some, perhaps even many, who were truly born from above that have never or that have been led away by the error of the wicked and fell from their own personal steadfastness. The Apostle Peter mentions that, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. And in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, he made this statement, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And that means cultivate it. If you've been saved by God's grace, you know you're as saved as you'll ever be. You'll never get any more salvation, and you'll never lose the salvation that the Lord gave you. But if you don't cultivate it, you'll never be a good fruit bearer. You know, if you plant a garden and you sow the seed, you know, and walk off and leave it, you're not very likely to be able to gather a good harvest, because the weeds and the grass, they will take it, you know, and they'll stunt its growth. And so it's the same way in the Christian life. When you're saved, you need to cultivate your salvation. And Paul, I mentioned a while ago that he had been gone from this church for quite a while. And he got word from the house of Chloe, you know, that there was divisions among them and different things. And so he wrote to them. And this is what he said. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." He said, "Even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to. For you were not able to bear it. Neither are you now able, for ye are carnal and walk as men." Now, carnality refers to worldliness. They were worldly minded, and they had not grown in grace and in knowledge of the truth. They had not developed as they should have. And I believe today that carnality is the same reason why we're not spiritual today. I believe we're absolutely too worldly minded. We have our minds on worldly things. And so Paul wrote to the Hebrews, and in like manner, he said to them, "For when at the time," and I understand that to be, and he is saying, by now, you should have grown some. But he said, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." Now, the oracles of God are the divine communications of God's word and his will to man. And so he said, you haven't grown. By now, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be providing leadership, you know. And you ought to be teaching other people. But he said, you still need to be taught. I need to go back and teach you the first principles of the word of God. And he said, you are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, that is to them who have matured, even to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, they've used their good sense are able to understand what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong. And so this was some of the instructions of Paul to the Hebrews. Now, in the physical and intellectual maturity, or the state of being mature, it's not automatic. I mean, you just don't grow up and automatically you are intelligent and you're full of wisdom and so on. That must be achieved, you know. Just growing up, getting older, don't mean that you're going to be wise and that you're going to be a very intellectual person. It must be achieved. It's something that you must work for and work toward if that's going to happen. And it has to be attained by desire and effort. And even as Christians, you know, if we want to grow and in grace and in knowledge, and we want to become strong men and women in the service of the Lord, we have to desire that. And we have to put forth an effort to accomplish that. And it comes through study and through dedication and through discipline. We have to study the Word of God because that is the spiritual milk and meat for the children of God. And we have to be dedicated to that purpose. If we're haphazard and neglectful and we don't apply ourselves, we'll never grow and become what God would have us to become. And we have to discipline ourselves. And, you know, that means that we have to do what we know we're supposed to do, even if we don't want to do it or had rather do something else. You know, maybe I'll get into more of that a little bit later. Now, I was talking about now physically and intellectually and naturally growing into a man or a woman from a physical standpoint. But the same is true of spiritual maturity. It takes the desire to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior. It means that we have to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just a reasonable service. It's nothing outstanding. It's nothing, you know, that we can boast about or anything like that. It's just, it's reasonable that if God gave us life and God has given us health and given us strength, and he's blessed us with the material blessings of this world, it's only reasonable that we should want to do something for him. And so the Apostle Paul he teaches us that we need to discipline ourselves. Paul said that in the 9th chapter of this same book, he said that he didn't want to be And I may have to turn to it and read it. Sometimes I can't do what I want to do. But he said this. He was talking about running in the race. And he said, you're not crowned if you don't run legally. You can't take any shortcuts. You have to stay the course. And you have to run. And he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertain. He said, I know what I'm doing. I'm not undecided about this. I'm not uncertain about this. I want to grow. I want to serve the Lord. And I know what I'm doing. And he said, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But he said, I keep my body under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And so Paul, he emphasized the importance of self-discipline. I really believe this. I believe that the Bible authorizes a church to discipline unruly members. But you know, if we would discipline ourselves, then it wouldn't be necessary for the church to do that. We just need to discipline ourselves in the service of the Lord. Now, let me see if I can find my place where I was. As Christians, we must discipline our own selves. We need to associate with like-minded people. That's why church affiliation is so important. And that's why faithful attendance is important. If we spend one day a week with spiritually minded people and 6 days a week with worldly minded people, it is possible that the worldly minded people will have a greater influence on us than the spiritually minded people. Amen. And so we have to choose. We have to choose to serve the Lord. And we have to make an effort to choose the Lord, serve the Lord. And the word of the Lord says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, without deviating, without going off course. We profess to be children of God. And so he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. For he that is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto good works. And that means we need to encourage one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So it's very important. Faithful attendance at church is very important to developing a strong spiritually minded person. Then Paul exhorts. I skipped down a paragraph, and I'm going to go back. He said, exhorting, that means strongly urging one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So now I want to call your attention to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. He started out in verse 1, and he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. The word beseech means beg. I'm begging you. Let us walk worthy of our vocation. Now, vocation there does not mean occupation. And it does not necessarily mean a call to preach. It is a call to Christian service. And every one of us, regardless of our, whether we've been called to preach or whether we're deacons or Sunday school teachers or whatever we may be, whatever capacity, you know, that we may be serving the Lord, the Bible teaches us that God has called us to Christian service. But our calling, and our calling should be with all lowliness and meekness. That is, in humility we serve the Lord. And He, with an humble spirit, and with long suffering. And long suffering has reference to endurance. In times of difficulty, we still remain faithful and we endure through it all. Songwriter wrote, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus and I've learned to trust in God. And that's what we have to do. And we have to, with long suffering, serve the Lord. And it says, forbearing one another in love. That's putting up with each other. We have to learn to put up with each other. We have contact with people all the time, you know, that maybe their ways are not the same as our ways. But we have to, if we're going to serve the Lord and be involved in Christian service, we have to put up with each other. And so Paul then, he exhorts us. And he says, we have to have patience. That's part of forbearing one another in love. Have patience with each other. We have to be easygoing and understanding. And we have to be forgiving with each other. If somebody says something you don't like, forget it. It's the best way to handle it. Just forget it. And then Paul exhorts to unity. And we all know what David said about unity, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so he says that we should have unity. And unity demands peace. You know, if we're going to be unified, we have to be at peace with each other. And I think these are steps in spiritual growth. I think as we learn to do these things, I think we are developing spiritual maturity. And we have more influence. And we're able to perhaps secure the confidence of other people as they watch us, as they see our meek and lowly spirit, and they see our long suffering, our endurance, and they see how we forbear one another, how well we get along with each other. I think it adds weight to our position. Paul said in the 12th chapter, he's talking about the body of Christ, just one body and many members, and all the members are needed. And he said there should be no schism in the body, no division, no confusion, no hard feelings with each other. Spiritual maturity will get us beyond that. And the Lord, in this fourth chapter, He provided assistance for us in the form of Christian teachers. The Bible said he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and he gave some pastors and teachers. Not everyone is a preacher, and not every preacher is a pastor, and not every pastor is an evangelist. And sometimes the preachers and pastors and evangelists maybe be like myself, maybe not be a very good teacher. And there may be some brethren and sisters in the church that are Sunday school teachers. Perhaps their teaching can help, you know, to stabilize a young Christian so that they will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. Now, these offices that the Lord gave to the church are to help us.
Amen.
They are to help us. Help us to grow. And he said for these offices were given for the perfection of the saints. And of course that means for the development of the saints. There are none of us that will ever experience perfection in the flesh. Even Paul, he said he was following after perfection. He said, not that I've already comprehended, I'm not there yet. But he said, I follow after. And he was trying to develop, become a better Christian, a stronger Christian. So he said, I'm following after it. And he said, as many as be thus minded, let's do the same thing. And so he said this, that it was for the perfection of the saints, saved people, for the work of the ministry, that is the Christian ministry. The ministry doesn't belong just to preachers. The ministry is the ministry of the church. And it's for the work of the Christian calling and for the edifying of the body of Christ to build us up, to make us stronger, to make us more mature. And so we'll have more power with each other and with the world. And for the body, unifying, edifying of the body of Christ till we all come into the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's why we have these helps in Christian growth. And so we'll mature and grow. And none of us have yet reached the stature of Christ, I don't guess. We should want to. We should want to. He said the purpose of this growth and maturing and perfecting is so that we won't be deceived by false doctrine. Now, the world is full of deceivers. And so we need to be strong in the Lord. And we need to exercise our senses so that we'll know false doctrine when we hear it. And we won't be deceived by it. So he said, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's in Colossians 2, 23 and 24. And so we are united in faith and practice for the purpose of promoting and advancing the work of the Lord. That's the purpose behind all of it. Now we should strive for perfection, not in selfish pride, but in loyal service. And it should be our desire to reach the lost and to be a moral and spiritual influence in our community. And so that should be the motivation for us trying to grow in grace and the knowledge of the truth. Now, there's some foolish things I want to mention here that we need to put away. There are some things that are natural and immature traits in children, and they stay with you as long as you live. They're common to all men, and the reason why is because of the inherited sinful nature that we have. And also because we haven't developed through education and training. Proverbs says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And we know that true to be true. And the operative word in that statement is correction. You know, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And so we need to be corrected. And the need for instruction and training and education, that's what children need. And Jeff pointed that out quite well. And oftentimes we are entertained by the foolishness of children. You know, we say, that's so cute, you know. And oh, you're so silly, you know, and we enjoy seeing the foolishness in children sometimes. And I want to add a disclaimer. I'm not a psychiatrist, and I'm not a psychologist, but I have observed a lot of human nature. And so there are many emotional traits in the nature of man, both men and women, that will remain with us as long as we live. They do not disappear when we get older. But fortunately, as we grow spiritually, we learn to control them. Amen. We have to control them because they are not becoming to the nature of Christians. And so therefore we control them. I'm going to give you a list here of these natural traits. And I mean by natural traits, feelings that are easily excited. And we all have them. And we don't need to deny it. Even those of us are saved, you know. And occasionally, they manifest themselves. And when they do, they make us look bad. And they are things that are hurtful to the character of Christians. I want to mention selfishness, the lack of consideration for others. Now, these are things that we need to put away. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. But he said, when I became a man, I put away that foolish stuff. So we need to put away selfishness and being concerned only with our own will, what I want. Another one is anger. You know, that's being annoyed to the point of being unfriendly, antagonistic, and hostile to other people. As Christians, we need to get that under control. Jealousy. Jealousy is a form of envy. It's a displeasure because of the achievement of others or the feeling like, you know, this honor this guy's getting, I should have got it, you know. Jealousy lies dormant within us. I've heard the statement, there's not a jealous bone in my body. And I don't believe there's a jealous bone in the body of anybody in this building tonight. Jealousy don't hide out in the bones. jealousy hides out in the heart. And it'll raise its ugly head once in a while. No matter how hard we try to control it, we may not let anybody else see it. And God help us that we never let anybody see us if we have it. But we feel it, don't we? All right? Gossip. I still got a minute. Gossip. That's spreading rumors or stories about somebody that makes them look bad. We should not put one another down. We should lift one another up. Pride. Pride is the excessive high opinion and feeling of oneself or one's importance. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride will get us into trouble. Then there's vengeance, the desire to get even or make someone pay for an injury or a suspected wrong. And then there's the holding of a grudge, the unwillingness to forgive someone for a past trespass or a past wrong. The Bible teaches us to forgive one another. And it says, even as our Heavenly Father forgave us. And in fact, Jesus went so far as to say, if you forgive not those who trespass against you, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. So forgiving one another has a lot to do with fellowship with God, you know. So these are just a few of the childish things that I thought about as I tried to prepare for this lesson. And I hope all of us can grow more. I know I need spiritual growth. I know that. I want to get closer to the Lord. I want fellowship with every one of my brothers and sisters. I don't want anybody to have any hard feelings toward me, and I don't want any hard feelings toward anybody else. And I hope this lesson maybe has been a help. I don't know if it has or not. These are the things that I felt like I needed to present tonight. And I pray the Lord will bless it to His honor and glory. And thank you for your patience. Anyone have any comments you want to make tonight? We're going to close rather quickly.